Welcome to the Misfit Stars podcast. I'm Shannon Kurtz.
And I am Jamie Hill. Welcome, everybody, to episode 12.
Episode 12. Doo-doo-doo-doo.
It's an even dozen. If this were eggs, if the podcast were eggs, we would have a complete carton.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
What else comes in dozens, honey?
Donuts.
Donuts.
I wonder why.
I wonder why, too.
Why the dozen thing for the eggs and the donuts?
Why a dozen in general? That's a good question.
English measurements are really weird. Everyone else, everywhere else in the world is like, what if we did things in units of 10?
That makes sense. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. Easy to count.
10 fingers.
Yeah.
Kind of like the episodes.
Uh-huh. Totally.
I've started counting on my toes.
Oh, jeez. Come on. Okay. So welcome to episode 12.
We would like to welcome all of our new listeners and thank our new supporters. There have been some of each over this last week and we're grateful for you. I got the nicest message from somebody who just listened to the first, they're just starting to listen to the podcast.
Oh, cool.
And they listened to episode one, Origin Story.
Wow.
And they had this to say.
What?
So many great nuggets. First of all, this is funny. So many great nuggets, but for some reason, if your name's Blaine, you're a jerk, is just cracking me up. And that's funny. But then they said, you guys are deep, light, funny, helpful, soulful, and goofy all at once.
Oh.
Thanks for leading the way.
Oh, that's really encouraging.
I know.
And sweet.
Then he said, you guys are instant podcast pros.
Oh.
Very rad.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you, new listener.
Thank you, friend.
That's really, really cool.
It's encouraging.
And thank you to all of you who've been with us since the beginning and those who are just joining us. We're just grateful to be able to be in your lives a little bit as you've chosen to, you know, spend some of your day with us.
It
thank
is
you.
Super nifty. And we're just grateful to have the opportunity to do this in our lives, you know, to get to sit on the couch and talk with each other.
Totally.
Pretty fun.
Totally. Well, this podcast, this episode is brought to you by our Misfit Stars supporting members.
Thanks, y'all.
Thank you, supporting members, our stars, as we like to call them.
Couldn't do it without you.
Could not do it without you.
You know, if you're listening to this and you are not yet a Misfit Star, i.e. a supporting member of this podcast, it would be awesome if you wanted to do that.
Yes, it would.
That's how we make this happen.
That's
and that's
right.
The whole goal is to get more people into this fold and grow it and make it a bigger community. And yeah.
Yeah. So how do you become a Misfit Star, Jamie?
Oh, it's so easy, Shannon. You just go to misfitstars.com and there are two big pink buttons.
Mm-hmm.
You click on the second.
The second big pink button.
Big pink button.
Okay.
Second one.
Yeah.
And that's it. And it'll just whisk you away to the page where you sign up and it's super simple. And there is stuff to be had.
There's stuff to get?
Yeah. Say, for example, you want to get a super nifty sticker sheet.
Ooh.
I, for example, have my Misfit Stars stickers on the back of my cell phone case.
So do I.
No big deal.
I know. They're really cute.
There's a t-shirt. Yeah, there's a t-shirt.
It's
so good. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's my favorite new t-shirt.
You were wearing yours 2 days ago.
I was.
It looked cute as ever.
I love it.
It's very cool.
So this is a bit of a special episode.
It's so special.
Today, because we're doing time travel.
Whoa.
We are recording this early because by the time this episode comes out, we will be in Vermont visiting Jamie's family.
That's right.
And so rather than spending part of our family visit time recording a podcast, we decided we should do it in advance. And so look at us being all like prepared.
In the biz, this is known as a pre-record.
A pre-record.
Oh, it's a pre-taped episode.
It's very, very sophisticated. So we're you know, usually at this point in the podcast, we're like, so what do we get into this week? And it's going to be something like, what did we get into this week? And we will have been like in hopefully some really cold temperatures.
Yep.
And lots of snow. And
hopefully playing with the kids.
Definitely hanging out with the kiddos, our nieces and nephew.
Mm-hmm. My sister's got 3 kids and they are rad. They might listen to this podcast. Hi, kids.
Hi, kids. So yeah, we don't know exactly what we're going to get into, but we have some good ideas and look forward to our visit. So,
and hopefully there will be a lot of relaxing because that's part of what family time should be about, right?
Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah. I think you've got an interesting recording project you're going to be doing with your dad, right?
Yes. We are going to be bringing this very same digital recorder that we use to record the podcast with to Vermont. And I'm going to be using it to record some conversations with my dad, just asking him questions and learning about what it was like for him growing up in the 40s.
That's a cool thing to do before he starts forgetting those things, because that'll happen at some point probably.
Yes, it will.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, we take where we are for granted, you know, and it's neat to have some continuity to the past.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So Vermont's coming up. So we're doing this in advance. And by the time you hear this, we'll be almost on our way home again after our trip to Vermont. So
wild. Living in the future is crazy.
Time travel is weird. Mm-hmm. So today we are doing something fun. Because it's a pre-record episode and because we're not releasing this for a little while, we decided to do today a listener topic bonanza.
Bonanza.
Ba, ba, ba. I feel like we should have some theme music for that.
That's a really good word. I had written smorgasbord.
Oh.
But Shannon went with bonanza, and I think it's better.
Oh, yeah. Bonanza is much better.
Really good job, baby.
I mean,
baby.
It sounds so much more fun. Yeah. Although smorgasbord sounds like you could eat a lot, and that sounds
also great.
Well, you know,
it was a nod to your upper Midwestern heritage.
My grandparents all definitely loved the Golden Corral.
Heck yes.
For sure. So, listener topic bonanza / smorgasbord, which means we're going to just, we've got a bunch of listener topics that we've been
collecting, hoarding, really. Yeah. Saving for the right time.
Saving for the right time. And some of the topics, we always do a listener topic at the end of every episode. And some of them are meaty enough topics to like dedicate in a whole like a half of an episode to.
Yeah.
And some of them are more just more like fun, lighthearted, and we've sort of been like keeping those aside because they're not necessarily ones that we would make, you know, an entire half an episode, but we can just hit a bunch of them today. They're actually, a lot of them are really quite fun.
Absolutely.
And
just kind of personal, and I think they'll sort of be insights into like, I'm going to learn little bits about your childhood probably in teenage years.
Yeah, I'll probably learn about yours
too. It's going to be cool.
It's going to be fun. So the listener topics that we should mention, all of our listener topics come from our Misfit Stars community. So that's one of the things that you get to do when you become one of our Misfit Stars supporting members is that you get to chime in with what kinds of things you'd like to hear us talk about. And so all of these topics come from our Stars community.
And we also, like, we'll shout you out on the air too.
If you want.
Yeah.
And if you don't want, we also won't.
That's right. We had a secret submission recently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
from mystery listener T.
Right.
And that's all we could say.
That's right.
Yeah.
So should we dive in?
Oh my gosh, I'm so ready.
Okay, let's do it.
Our first topic is from Misfit Stars supporting member Landon R. Hi, Landon.
Hi, Landon.
Thank you so much for the topic question. His topic question, you know, he has a couple different ones. We're going to hit them both because why the heck not? They're short and fun.
Okay.
The first one is how to get through writer's block.
Interesting.
And I think that's a really relevant thing for a lot of people because, like, not everyone does art full-time professionally like we do. But I think everybody has some kind of thing that they do in their life where they just might like really feel a passion to do it, but at certain times feel a little bit blocked in how to get to the next step, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to hear yours first because you are really the writer.
The writer in the family.
I mean, I'm a writer too in different ways, but like you, I don't know, your songwriting, just I'm always so in awe of it. Like you're just a freaking machine.
Aww.
No, you guys, seriously, like Shannon just goes upstairs and writes songs. Like she's just like, I'm going to go write a song now. And then she comes back downstairs like 4 hours later without having come down to like pee or drink water or anything. And then like she'll be like, I've got a song and it's recorded. What? How did you do that? It's like living with a magician or a unicorn or something equally improbable. It's like she pulled a quarter out from behind my ear. Like, where did that come from?
That's very sweet of you to say that. You know, I do experience block times though. And, you know, I think that one of the things that I've noticed recently actually is that when I'm out, when I've been out of the practice of doing it, it's easier to develop the blocks.
Mm.
Like, for instance, we came home from tour. It was time for us to rest. And we did a really good job of doing that. And I'm saying that was a good thing to do. And I didn't go up to my writing studio for a while.
I mean, we had 18 months to decompress from.
Yeah, totally. So, you know, I needed the rest and that was good to do. But I noticed that the longer away from it that I was, the less I felt compelled to go up there and write. The less I felt like I wanted to, or that I could do it. You know, the block sort of like had time to aggregate.
I actually relate to that in a really weird way. Is it okay if I chime in?
Of course, yeah.
Which is that, so we have, you know, a new studio, new house situation here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I quick made a couple records last spring and then, you know, I just kind of did them as I did them. You know, they had to get done and we did them and they came out pretty good and great. Mm-hmm. But, you know, then there was like all this time when we were on tour and then decompressing when I didn't really use the studio at all. And I really felt like around like November-ish or whatever, heading into the holiday season, as though I felt like I had a weird kind of disconnected relationship with my working space.
Really?
Like I didn't really feel like I could trust it. I didn't really feel like I was familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
It was really interesting and weird and not a very comfortable feeling. I mean, like we had our place in South Pasadena for 10 years.
Right.
And by the last like 4 years or so, I had that thing, like, I just knew it so intimately.
Into that place was like putting on an old pair of socks or something.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There was just no mystery whatsoever. Not that there should be mystery with socks.
Right. Well, so yeah, I think that just the accumulated time of not doing the practice of whatever it is that you do, that you create, can sometimes build up that block,
yeah.
you know, and it's, there's nothing real about it. It's just that there's been distance and brains do weird things and play tricks on us and, you know, started telling us that
and
we don't.
Neural pathways kind of get unused.
Right. That's true. Yeah. That's true. So yeah, I found myself like sort of procrastinating a bunch. You know, I had personal songs to do with the holidays mm-hmm. and I've been finishing up a couple of more of them this month. And, you know, there was like, I would find reasons to do anything but writing. Like, oh, I really got to do the laundry. Oh, I really probably should do this other work task that yeah. I have on my plate. So like, you know.
Yeah, a lot of couch time.
Yeah.
What if I read this cool magazine?
What if I read a magazine? Which is all
it's
fine
good.
Things to do.
It's good.
But I found myself, you know, by the time I started getting back up there and actually doing the writing, then it started to flow more,
yeah.
you know? And yeah, it's rough the first, you know, the first little while up there in my mm-hmm. room, you know, I definitely find myself getting distracted, getting tired. I find myself getting tired.
Yeah.
Like that's a response
like the
I can have.
Mental strain of thinking it through.
Yeah. Just kind of a feeling of overwhelm, you know, which makes me feel tired. That's kind of how that manifests for
right,
me.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, some things obviously just getting on the bicycle and starting to ride, even though it's difficult, is mm-hmm. one thing to get through writer's block.
Mm-hmm.
But I think another thing that's really helpful for me too is to fill myself with ideas. Because sometimes when I am experiencing writer's block, now personal songs are a different story because I have material that I'm writing from. I have source material.
You
that's
know the
like,
topic.
Yeah. When I'm writing just for myself, for songs that are going to be like on my next record or whatever, I mean, the possibilities are endless. And so I have like sometimes a crippling amount of possibilities to choose from. And it feels like,
yeah.
where do I even begin?
Right. In a world of a million possibilities, how do you choose one?
Right. Right.
That and could be so overwhelming.
Yeah. And then I, because there's so many, it almost makes me feel like I don't have any ideas. You know what I mean? Like so I think filling myself with ideas I feel like it's like feeding my brain mm-hmm. and feeding whatever creative part of my brain with things like reading books. Going to movies.
Yeah.
Having conversations with people about interesting topics, about learning about new things. You know, like I can't create from an empty vessel.
Right.
You know? And so like that's one of the things I think it's really important and necessary for me to overcome writer's block. If I'm feeling like I can't, I'm like I'm not coming up with anything, I need to go be inspired by someone else's ideas.
Mm.
And just because oftentimes if I'll read a book or I'll write a movie or I'll have a conversation, it's not even a direct correlation. Like, oh, I heard this in this movie and now I'm going to go write about that. It's not even like an exact one-to-one. It's like just being inspired by someone else's idea sort of like sets a pattern in motion in my brain that leads me to thinking about something that I want to express.
It revs up your creative engine.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. You know, I have the same kind of experience with listening to records. Like if I'm feeling like I'm just having trouble kind of getting ideas going for like how to put sounds together in a studio recording kind of environment,
yeah. mm-hmm.
listening to other people's records, listening to records that have sonically stimulating ideas
mm-hmm.
is really inspiring for me too. And in the same kind of way, like I'm not necessarily going to be like, oh, I'm just going to go try to replicate this exact sound.
Right.
But just like listening to how somebody has put together the drum sounds on a few albums kind of makes me just sort of be conscious and think about like, well, what do drum sounds feel like for me right now? Like, how do
yeah.
I want to approach those ideas?
Yeah. It just kind of gets the ball kicked down the road a little bit and
absolutely.
You can get the momentum going.
Yeah. That's it. So, yeah. you know, Landon, there's a couple thoughts for you, but basically I think the short answer to the question from our point of view is just get on the bike and get going.
Yeah.
You know, the best way to get through a block with creative stuff is just to do creative stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And watch other people on their bikes.
Yeah. Well finished metaphor, baby.
Does Landon have another question?
He did. His other question was, do you have favorite moments at concerts that reshaped who you were as a musician?
That's a really like specific question. It's not like favorite moments at concerts, end of question.
Yeah.
It was that reshaped you as a musician.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because like I've enjoyed myself at a lot of concerts
mm-hmm.
over my lifetime. But the ones that actually reshaped me in some way, it's kind of an exception to the rule. Like,
oh, there's so few.
I mean, I can, yeah. My very first concert was like, I think I was like in seventh grade or I can't remember how old I was. But my mom and my aunt took me and my sister to go see Amy Grant at Cal Expo in Sacramento.
No big deal.
Oh, yeah. Which was, you know, so fun. Did it shape me as a musician? No. I mean, I was a kid, yeah. first of all. I mean, maybe in some small way, it was like, oh, look, there's this woman that I really, you know, whose music I really like on stage. This is her job. Whoa. Maybe somewhere that filed away in my brain that was like something that you could do as a person in the world.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. But it wasn't like life changing, mm-hmm. you know. And most of the concerts I've been to, I've had a great time, haven't really been like ones that really stuck out to me. But I have one. And how many do you have?
I have two.
You have two?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so do you want to start and then I'll go in the middle?
That sounds fine.
Okay, you go for your first career music artist shaping concert experience.
Yeah. So okay. I have like two. So one of them is like from later in life. And so I'll start with the one that's from earlier in life. And it's when I was 15 years old.
Okay.
And I went with my older friend, Brady. Brady, if you're listening, hi.
Hi, Brady.
To see a band called Camper Van Beethoven.
Mm-hmm.
And they were playing at Dartmouth College in New Hampshire, mm-hmm. which was like an hour drive from where we lived in the center of Vermont. So that was pretty exciting.
It was only an hour?
Yeah, because it's all very small over there.
It's very small.
It's probably less because it's half an hour down to White River Junction and about 15 minutes up to Dartmouth. So probably 45 minutes.
How cute.
I know. You can't drive a state over in 45 minutes here.
No.
Crazy behavior. But, you know, so first of all, very exciting. Like, you know, a 15-year-old and a 17-year-old on a trip, on a little tiny road trip together in an old Volvo station wagon.
That's so exciting.
Very exciting. And, so Camper Van Beethoven were, I mean, if they were around now, they would be called like indie rock. But back at the time, they were like college rock,
sure.
you know, in the mid-80s. And this would have been like 1987. And so they had just a very eclectic musicality. Like they had a guy who played like violin / fiddle, mm-hmm. you know, the two different ways you can play that instrument. Mm-hmm. The former being more kind of sonorous and sure. orchestral and the other one being kind of more fiddly, you know. And they had a keyboard player and they just had a very eclectic point of view on what music is. Lots of disparate influences all kind of tossed in. They were from Santa Cruz, you know, so there was that kind of wild sort of hippie idea that all kinds of music are good and should be explored.
Right, right.
And the thing about them at that time is that even though they were so kind of all over the map and had all these disparate influences and this wildly adventurous musicianship, they still made emotionally resonant connections with 15-year-old me.
Oh, yeah.
And the material still does that to me. Like, it's just very, like, sort of nostalgic and kind of regretful and just very sweet in a lot of ways. And to be able to see at that time that you could have adventurous musicianship and not have to necessarily sacrifice emotional connection.
Oh, interesting.
Was really a big like lock turning moment for me. You know, it's like a door opening. Like this idea that you could have musicianship without having it necessarily be like novelty.
Got it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because so much of the stuff at the time, like a little bit later, that was like. Like really great musicianship was just like Primus or whatever. Like someone going
like it's look at that guy's technique. Wow, that really moves me emotionally.
or Fish or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where the music, like the musicianship is wonderful, but all the songs are stupid. You know?
No offense to Fish or Primus fans out there.
Yeah, or like Led Zeppelin, one of the best bands of all times, if you're into D&D.
Right, fairies and dragons. And
hey, what should this song be about? Well, how about wizards?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. This is something I can relate to.
Yeah. Yeah, highly relatable.
Yeah. So I have just one concert experience that like shaped me as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I went to lots of concerts earlier in my life, but this was one that we went to just a few years ago that I feel like it was the clear answer to this question for me. And I can't really think of another experience that was like this in a way, in the way that this one affected me.
How cool for you to have had that experience this late in life.
Yeah.
To still be open in that way.
Well, thanks. I guess that's good.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, I ideally want to continue to be open. But anyway, so we went to a club in LA when we were living there to go see an artist named Kate Tempest, who is a British rapper and spoken word artist, poet, scholar.
Playwright. Guest lecturer.
Yeah, she's brilliant.
Yeah.
And we had gotten her record, Let Them Eat Chaos, in the fall of 2016, and it slayed me. I mean, just it's such an emotional record, and it changed the way that I I thought about the possibility of how one could make records. Yeah. It's a concept album, really, that tells one narrative story from the beginning to the end of the record.
Yeah.
About a person, the narrator, zooming in, like getting a view of planet Earth from outer space, mm-hmm. and then falling to Earth, mm-hmm. in an intersection in London.
Yeah.
And then looking into the windows of people sleeping at 4:18 a.m. Is that what it is? 4:18 a.m. Because she refers the time to and looking into the lives of these people and what was happening in their lives, in their private lives, that we, you know.
And the way those all end up intersecting.
Yes.
No spoilers, but everything comes together. I mean, it's like a gripping story.
Yeah, yeah. It's a beautiful, beautiful record. Just her album alone changed the way that I thought about what was possible in recorded material, and really made a big influence on what we ended up doing with the record The Space Between in 2017 too. Yep. So I love this record, and we went to see her perform it in the spring of 2017. Mm-hmm. And in this club in LA, how big is the club? Like 1,000 people maybe?
It's an 800.
800 person capacity. And we get there, and there was like a DJ opener, which we, you know, didn't, I'm not sure we even really heard.
We showed up for like 2 songs.
Yeah. But just, you know, guy spinning some songs wasn't like an act really.
Yeah.
And then, they set up the stage for Kate, who travels with a small band. Mm-hmm. They perform the music live, a lot of it.
But it's all electronic.
It's all electronic. Super cool. And something happened that has never happened before, ever, to me at a concert. Mm-hmm. Before anything happened. Hold up, Jamie.
Yeah?
Why is the audio fading out?
Well, the audio's fading out, Shannon, because this is a Misfit Stars member-exclusive episode.
Member-exclusive?
Yeah, so the deal with this is we want, ideally, to encourage people to become supporting members of this podcast because it's a way to support what we're doing, not just with this podcast, but with all the other sketchy stuff we do with our lives. It's true, right? And so the idea is that, you know, hopefully people will be like, oh, this is so interesting. I want to hear the rest of this. I want to hear how it finishes. Spoiler alert, you do.
It's great.
This is an awesome episode.
It was
episode.
Really fun. We got like deep in our like personal histories.
And we talk about all the songs that mattered to us the most at various places in our lives.
Ugh, so fun.
It's really cool.
You really want to hear the rest of this episode.
Yep.
And so if you want to hear the rest of this episode.
What do you do, Shan?
You got to become a star.
How do you do it?
And you become a star by going to misfitstars.com. Mm-hmm. That is the internet home of this podcast.
Yep.
You will find on the homepage 2 pink buttons.
Not one, but 2.
2 big pink buttons, the second of which says unlock all episodes.
What do you do?
You click it.
Oh.
It takes you to this page where you can choose what level you want to support this podcast at.
Right. It's all reasonable. You can do low, you can do high, whatever is best for you.
Choose what works for you, and then bam.
Yeah.
This episode and all of the previous members exclusive episodes will be unlocked magically.
Oh, just like that.
Just like that. And
there's a lot of them.
There's a lot of them at this point. And so that's what you do. Become a star.
That's so easy.
Also choose a level that gets you a sticker sheet.
Ugh.
Or you can choose a level that gets you a t-shirt.
The t-shirts are so freaking cute.
So go to it, guys. Misfitstars.com.
Yeah. Second big pink button. Thank you so much for supporting what we do with our lives. It's sketchy. And we appreciate your support.
I support sketchy.
Yep.
Thank you, guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye.